Lord, I'll let you get in some good situations. He'll make it possible for you to be in a meeting like this. Aren't you glad you're here tonight? He's so good to us. I believe in being faithful to God. And being faithful, of course, if you're faithful to Him, you'll be faithful to His church. I'm not pastoring right now, but I still have a heart to see people in God's house. And I don't see many empty pews here tonight. Some are saying that we're in a day when it won't work. But it's still working. 50-something years of pastoring. Now, I've saw an improvement. I really have. There's been an improvement in me. And there's been an improvement in the churches that I have been in and where I attend and where I'm going. Someone told me right recently, they said, you pick the churches you going to go. I told them, I've been hearing good Sunday school teaching. I've been hearing good preaching. And it looks to me like God's economy is doing fine. Amen. Of course, I understand in the latter days what's going to happen. I see that happening. But more than that, I see what God's doing. Amen. Isn't it wonderful what He's doing? Yes. He saved you. That's pretty wonderful, isn't it? He's watching over you. He's protecting you. You made it here tonight because of His protection. And if you've had anything to eat today, and you got clothes on your back, come from Him. He's still in business. I want you to turn to Philippians, the last chapter, and I've got more than I can preach. First sermon I tried to preach was 5 minutes, and they had to give me some help to do that. I've improved since that time in length. In length. I want you to pray for yourself, pray for others, and pray for me. Have you ever prayed? Been sitting on a pew, and you knew some lost people were on that pew. Have you ever prayed them out of the pew you felt like? That's a wonderful feeling. God let me get in on that a few times. Knew some lost people, and there they were on the bench I was sitting on. And I prayed, and the invitation to come, they went. That's a real thrill. God lets us be where people get saved. Isn't that wonderful? But, of course, Philippians, all the Bible's good. But Philippians is kindly a peaceful book, really. In verse number 4, the 4th chapter of Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. I just don't see anything wrong with rejoicing. Amen. I don't see anything wrong with having fun in God's house. Amen. I'm not going to let the devil have that word as far as I'm concerned. 5th verse, let your moderation be known unto all men. And it tells us a lot of things to do here in this chapter. In our moderation, we need to let people see Jesus in our life. And I don't believe that we're going to portray Jesus much when we're griping and complaining and frowning and looking like we live on the edge of town. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Two things I get out of that. One is that He is at hand for us right here now. The Holy Spirit lives in us and we got His help. You can't beat having the Lord at hand in your own life. Anything you want to do. Thrill me to hear that this church is debt free. Amen? Isn't that something to shout over? I guarantee you there were folks that said they'll never make it. They'll never make it. Well, let the devil say what they want to. I've heard some say I don't like what they're doing down at the church. And I've told them years ago and tell them along, one day we're going to be raptured out and you're going to say, there they go. You'll know then. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Don't worry about things. You know, somebody said, well, that's the old flesh in us, or that's just we're human. We're going to worry. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches us to do. We may do that, but we don't need to. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm going to let you read the 8th verse. Finally, brethren, think on these things. So you need to get in the 8th verse and live in that and be what God wants you to be. A lot of things are said. Then verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things. I can let my moderation be known unto all men. I can be thankful. I can pray. I can do what God wants me to do. Then in verse number 19, but my God shall supply what? All your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Be seated, please. On and on. God tells us what to do in the Bible. He tells us how to handle every situation. If you're not saved, He tells you through Brother Ken. He tells you through Sunday school teachers. He tells you what to do about you being unsaved. He tells you that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born of the Virgin, lived some 33 and a half years without sin, and died on the cross for you. He tells you that if you'll believe, and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, He'll save you. He'll save you. Then the Bible said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, you have to cultivate or have to break up the ground if you're going to have a garden. Last 3 or 4 years, I haven't broke up any ground. I haven't planted any seed. I haven't done any work in the garden. And you know what? Yesterday, I was out cutting the grass off of where I used to have my garden. Nothing will happen, but weeds will grow. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengthen me. How many times do we say, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't give the Lord's tithe. I can't give 10%. I've lost my job. That's when whatever the Lord blesses you with, if He blesses you with a dime, I guess 10% of that would be a penny. So you do what God says do. You live for Jesus. You rejoice. The Bible said rejoice. And I say rejoice. Keep on keeping on. And the peace of God will take care of you. God will help your heart to have peace. God will help your mind to have sanity. He'll take care of you. Do all things through Christ. I can repent, believe, receive Christ as my Lord and Savior when the Holy Spirit convicts me. When He convicts me, I can repent. I can ask God to forgive me and be godly sorry of my sins. I can turn in my mind from my wicked ways, and then when the Lord saves me, then I can live what God tells me to live in the Bible, not 100%. I made a statement one time in ordination service. I said, you know, I don't live everything I preach. One of the preachers that followed me got up, I'll not call his name, one of the greatest preachers I've known, got up and said, bless God, I live everything I preach. We had some quiet conversation. I said, I know you preach a perfect Jesus. I know that you preach a perfect Bible. Nothing wrong with those. And you preach it. Do you live everything perfectly out of the Bible? He said, you got a point there. He said something else, bless his heart. He said, you can't teach love. I said, well, now, I hope you didn't write too quick. But you can. Let the older women teach the younger women how to love their husband and their children. So you can. So there's a lot of things that we can do by the help of the Lord. We labors together with God. Isn't it wonderful to be a laborer with God? Isn't it wonderful to walk, try to walk behind Jesus and step in His steps? Isn't it wonderful? Now, I was brought up on a farm, and my daddy used to make long steps plowing and stuff, and I've been out there trying to step in his footsteps. So we're following Jesus. We're living for Jesus, so why don't we enjoy it while we're going? I enjoy the house of God. I enjoy the singing. Wouldn't it good to hear this big choir singing tonight? Wouldn't it good to hear those words and to feel the witness of the Holy Spirit of God? Wasn't that something? I can do all things. I'm glad that a lot of you believe you can sing in the choir. It don't make any difference whether others believe it or not. But if you do, sing on. We've had a few that somebody says, man, we can't hear nobody but them. That's a blessing, I guess. But listen, we can do all things. You can take a preacher like this one over here that preaches the Word of God, believes the Word of God, and lives the Word of God. You can follow his leadership, and God blesses, and God gets people together. Aren't you thankful for a good group of people like this? House almost filled, few empty spots. I can do all things. I can pray. I can study. I can live right. You know, that's one thing we may be short on in some areas. Somebody said, well, you got to sin every day. I haven't read that in the Bible. I haven't. There ought to be some days when we're close enough to God that we may get through without sinning. If we don't, the Bible says, I write unto you that you sin not. Period. One dear preacher, a colored preacher, got to talking to him. He said, I quit where that period is. Said, if I was to tell my congregation, if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Said, I couldn't handle them at all. So listen, it's wonderful to be a Christian. It's wonderful to be living like a Christian or having the heart change. Now, if you just had a mind change, you're having a real difficult time keeping the things of God. But if you've had a mind change and a heart change, then you are doing well. You don't have to sin every day. If you're habitual, he that committed sin is of the devil. That's what the Bible said. Well, that's pretty close, didn't it? He that committed sin is of the devil. Of course, we got to looking around and studying, you know, and we find out he that continueth in sin, maybe. Changing the word around a little bit, it'll help you come out. Don't need to change it, do we? But we are Christians. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's here. The Holy Spirit of God lives in us. He's in us. You're closer to Him than those that followed Jesus on the seashores of Galilee. He's in you. You can't be without Him in the person of the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, well, I've sought the Holy Spirit, and finally I prayed until I passed out, and then when I woke up, I had the Holy Spirit living in me. Oh, my friends, I found it out later, but the night the Lord saved me, the Holy Spirit baptized me into the body of Christ, and I became bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. I've had some dear old saints of God tell me. One dear old man, my first pastor, he wanted me to come see him. He come to our church. I got over there and he said, I just wanted to talk to you, preacher, about receiving the Holy Ghost. He said, I didn't know nothing. I don't know much now, but I sure didn't know nothing then. But I knew how to talk to him. But he said, oh, I said, what are you talking about? I was sweet and kind, trying to be, and he was, and he was a good old Christian brother. Guarantee you, I believe he was. But anyway, he said, well, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, said you'll just be different. I said, brother, when I get to preaching, the Holy Ghost gets on me, so I don't think I could handle no more of the Holy Ghost. Told him that. Had another dear lady. She said, you stopped me from shouting the other day. I said, no, you didn't shout long enough. I was about to join you. I'd already got down in the floor. She come down the aisle a popping and a jumping, which was fine. I was getting about ready to pop and jump with her, and she quit on me. And I said, listen, sister, the Holy Ghost, when He saved me, when you accepted Christ as your Savior and He saved you, the Holy Spirit of God baptized you and took up His abode with you. He lives in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's living in you. That's why you ought to keep yourself as clean as you possibly can. I don't believe you ought to put too much down inside of you. You got the Holy Spirit living in you. Somebody said, blowing that smoke down in you and your lungs, but on the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, I went to pastor my first church. They'd had a pastor there. I've had funerals with him. I'm talking about before me. And the undertaker and him got him a big old cigar about that long. We prayed for the body to be moved. They said, you have one? I said, no, sir. You know, I didn't have a bit of trouble quitting smoking because I never did start. That's easy. Easy thing I ever done. The Lord let me get a hold of a chew tobacco when I was a little old kid, and I swallowed it. And they said, my face was white as any white shirt. They said, what's wrong with you? I'm just sick. Sick, they give me a whooping. But I told them. Listen, but that preacher, he had that big old cigar. He didn't put it out. Here he is standing up by the casket, and I'm standing close to him, and he's about to put me out with that cigar smoke coming up, and he's praying. But you know, nothing wrong with all that, I don't guess. If you want to go to heaven, if you're a Christian, you do that. It'll send you to heaven quicker, I believe. You let's get on in there. But listen, listen. God is real. He's real. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. God can take a little old boy like me, save me. I was so bashful and timid. Preached a little, or talked a little old 5 minute first sermon. He opened me up to the Holy Spirit. He blessed me. He's thrilled me. He's looked after me. He's took care of me. He's done all things. I am a living experience of the wonderful, wonderful Lord that we serve. He'll take care of you. You may have lost your job. Just hang on with God and keep doing for Him what you've been doing and increase a little in your doing. I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Then look, you don't have to worry about it. But my God, He's your God, shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come along, tell me now. He won't give you your wants. You want to tell me that? Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. What? I shall not want. He'll give you the desires of your heart. But somebody said your wanter and your desire changes when you get born again. That's good explanation of it, I guess. But my God shall supply all your need. I've had it happen. Somebody said, do you have a family budget? I said, no. I done went crazy coming up like I come up, married a wife. Second best thing ever happened to me is when I got saved. Second best thing was when He let me marry the one I married. Oh, me. I said, you're a gift from heaven, and she is. Gift from heaven. Your wife is a gift from heaven. I know he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And I haven't figured out that thing part yet. You ever preach on that? Somebody said, well, it's when you wake up in the morning and your wife's got all them, they don't put them things in their hair no more. And they don't have on any makeup. And all that. Well, I said, what about that man? I don't guess he looks too good. But anyway, God shall supply all your need. Man, if I'd have had a budget, if I'd have figured out, tried to figure out everything, and I had to have an automobile to be a preacher. You talking about skimpy pay. One church said, well, the Lord will keep the pastor poor, or keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. Keep him poor. Tire broke, blow out before he got off the churchyard. They said, well, he's humble, ain't he? I guess poor thing was. I guess he had to patch it and boot it. There's nothing wrong with that. In the panic days, somebody said, well, we're going to have a panic. I said, I've lived in one all my life, born in the panic. Born the year before the panic. Nothing wrong with being in a panic if you know God and He's looking after you. He'll take care of you. Yes, He'll take care. Supply all your need. What we need to do, we need to pray and we need to make supplications and we need to be thankful and we need to be praising God and doing what you're doing. But keep on doing this after you get home tonight. Do some of this praising in your home. Do some out there where you work. Tell people by your living. And if we'll think on these things in the 8th verse, then our moderation is going to be, they want what we got. What makes a difference in you? I first got saved, I was working at Lockheed. Now you talking about a hellhole of the world after I got saved. Wasn't too bad till I got saved. And I got to noticing how much they was a cussing and how much they didn't love God, and I had a sub-foreman just cussed me. I don't know. I'm being saved must have kept me from hitting him. But anyway, it's something to be saved. But this new fella come in, working in apartment I was working in, and I got to looking at him. And he'd bump in maybe to my work. He'd say, excuse me. And many of them at the same time, about 2 weeks after he'd come to work in there, we shook hands. I said, you're a Christian. He said, you are. Both of us were. It's a difference. You live different when your heart gets changed. When your whole living, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and God will supply your need. I'd have needing $400 or $500. That's back when $400 or $500, big money. Big money. And he'd come in. And the Lord even took me as a little old preacher and really preaching revivals. That income they give you. I preach one church. I give them more than they give me. The least I ever got for 6-7 nights of preaching was $10. And I just had a baby born into my family. The first one. But God takes care and God supplies your need. And He's blessed us and we've had plenty to eat and we've had more than we needed. Really. He'll supply your need. Let your moderation be known. Live like God wants you to live. It's no problem. I heard somebody saying, I hope it wasn't here tonight. Somebody said, so it's hard to live the Christian life. I wanted to jump up and say it wasn't here tonight. Not somewhere else. But I hope it wasn't. But anyway, I wanted to say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what the way of a transgressor is hard. What the Bible says. Way of a transgressor is hard. You're having a hard time. You're coming short. Check out and see if you're praying like God wants you to. Cast all your cares upon Him. Bring your carry your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, and you'll have peace. Boy, there's a lot of tough things happen. One of my sons has been he's in business, and it's went completely flat on him. Well, his oldest son, coming home the other day, tore up the truck, the only truck that he had left at that time. Completely tore it up. But he didn't get hurt too bad. So they called me and I got it. So I got a used car and another car, both of them used, but I had two. So I got up $200 and carried my car up to my son's house. He parked it out there. His daughter took his car and backed into my car. Three wrecks. And one day, I told him, I said, rejoice in the Lord. There, my little old car I love. I've had it since 93. You know how you get attached to a good little car. And I kind of hated for it to set out in the elements out under the car porch, really. Well, that's not. When we get the reports that somebody's had a wreck in their family, I ask, was anybody else involved? And if they say yes, did they hurt much? No, they're not hurt. I say, thank the Lord. I'd say, are you hurt much? They say, not too bad. I say, thank the Lord. I said, is the car hurt too much? My oldest son said, it's pretty bad. I got over there and it tore all to pieces. In fact, That was a miracle. That was a miracle. He and another boy was in the front seat, and that's before seat belts come in, and both of them were buckled up. And my son, now he wouldn't do him at 55. What he told them that night, patrolman, ended that little old beggar over and over, and I can just see God, the angel, in there. The only place on it wasn't tore up was a little bit of the windshield. The windshield where they were sitting. Rest of it was totally demolished, you might say. That's a miracle. I can just see an angel in there taking care of them two boys and keeping them. I tell you, miracles after miracles. We are serving a miracle working God, and He's performing miracles in our midst, and we don't believe in them sometimes. He is in the miracle business. He can take care of us. He can supply your need according to His riches in glory. No trouble with God. No, you know, a dollar is still worth a dollar. I found a penny somewhere the other day. I picked it up. Pennies make dollars. Dollars make $100. $100 make $1,000. I don't get into that category too much. Does it blow your mind to hear this government we got going on now talking about trillions of dollars in debt? God help us. We need God back in this country. We must have Him. I just recently, I saw y'all's good altar moves here tonight. I've got an excuse for not hitting the altar. One tonight, you had so many coming, I couldn't get out. That's wonderful. Glory. Isn't that good? You folks still praying in the altar. But I thought about, I'm hoping to get it, go around and preach a little in different churches. I appreciate Brother Ken asking me to preach tonight. Boy, you don't know what that means. When you get old, some of these days, and some good little young preacher, you're just young. Some little young preacher said, "We want you to preach for us, Brother Wilson." It'll come home. Yeah, it will. Lord help. We need God, but I thought about this. Where I preach, and I'd like to kindly here tonight say something about this, talking about God supplying. He said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, He said, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive them of their sins and heal their land." Our land is sinful. Our land is away from God. And we people, we have the answer to it. We need to go to calling more attention for prayer for this country. Prayer for our country. Boy, I love this country, don't you? God supplied it to us. What a blessing that God gave our forefathers this country. Somebody said, "Oh, we mistreated the Indians." No, the Indians were thankful that we brought God to them, our forefathers. Bushy Head, an Indian missionary, many years ago, I was in a camp where he was a missionary, and I got to talk to him. So I about trying to make apologies. I said, "I'm sorry we took y'all's country away from me." No. He said, "Thank God that the white men brought Jesus to this country, and we're saved. I'm saved because God did what He did, bringing you this country." We're under the wrath of God in our day. But He'll supply our need. The Bible talks about, Paul said, "I've come to the place," in these verses, "where I'm content." You know, I think about this. One time, I think I was a little cold. I went around and looked at the thermostats. That's a big mistake. I didn't even touch it. I looked at it. And then one of the sweet ladies, when when she come over on my side, I'd go to this side and she'd always go out there. But she made up my side that day. And she said, "You preacher, you have froze me to death." One dear brother told me, he said, "I can't come this winter to church." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "My feet freezes off." I think they had electric socks back then. I said, "Brother, get you some electric socks like you do when you go fishing in the wintertime." Anybody ought to know better than fishing in the wintertime. Amen. Paul said, "I'm content. I am content." Folks say, "Sure is cold most of the time." I'll say, "Well, I just adjust. It's in your mind." I don't convince many people that when they're cold, it's in their mind. I said, "If you didn't have no mind, you wouldn't be cold." I tell them that about pain. In fact, my wife has a lot of pain. I said, "Honey, that's just in your mind." Yeah. I wouldn't convince you I'm hurting. But you know what? I had a kidney stone attacked. I had several of them years ago. And I tell you, some of them said, "Preacher, I ain't never had no pain." Me, talking about me, ain't never had no trouble. Some of them say, "He never had no trouble." You imagine pastor 50-something years not having no trouble? Amen. But I had that pain. You know what I was doing? That first real, sure enough pain I'd ever had, I think. I thought I would die. I'm scared of shots now. Somebody go give me a shot, my hands will get sweaty. I'm with you kids. I don't like shots, but they don't hurt. They don't hurt, really, much. But anyway, I went in over there to the hospital. Back then, they weren't as fancy as they are now. In Villa Rica, I went in that old hospital. I went in. The lady says, "Can I do something for you?" I thought surely she'd know I was dying, probably need to undertake it. But anyway, I said, "What doctor?" I said, "I'm hurting bad." She said, "What doctor you want?" I said, "That fella sitting right there, is he a doctor?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "I'll take him." And we went down there in a little room. He said, "Now, preacher," he said, "I'm going to have to give you 4 shots." I said, "Just cut my head off if you want to." And I put them arms out, and I just thanked him for them. Amen. Pain. But the point I aimed to make was this. I just, "Oh me, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord." Put me in a room in there, back 2 people in it. About that time, they brought in a fella from Bremen with a heart attack. I still said, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." He had a heart attack. "Help me, Lord." I thought I was going to have one after a while. But anyway, I heard those folks groaning and complaining and everything down through there hurting. I mean, you could hear them groaning, that poor old fella dying with that bad heart attack. And the Lord smote my heart. And I said, "I'm not doing right. Here I am selfishly. I said, "Oh, God. Bless this feller. Lord, touch him. Bless those poor people that's hurting. Touch them and help them." You know what? I started getting better. Paul said, "I'm content. I'm content. If I'm hot, I'm content." It gets a little hot. Now you go ahead and fan. Anybody's fanning tonight? Yeah, just help yourself. That's the only air conditioning we used to have in the church. Of course, we had windows that you could raise and all that. But anyway, it was. Lord, help them. I started getting better. Content. I'm content. I love being a Christian. I tell you something else. I'm thankful I'm getting older. God's letting me live. Somebody told me right recently, said somebody said that it's a mess to start getting old. I think he was not 60 yet. He's not even 60 yet. Said, you have to fight these pains, this arthritis, and all this other stuff. Well, the Lord will help you. He'll help you. I messed around with cataracts on my eyes. Got where I couldn't. My wife sometimes said, you didn't read no scripture. If she couldn't have seen them, she wouldn't have read them either. Amen. But you know what? I picked out an ophthalmologist, didn't it? I picked out one. I said, God, I want you to take him, and I want you to heal my eyes through him. Amen. God is the divine healer. He said, I'll supply all your needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. My riches and glory, Christ Jesus. I'll supply your need. I stand before you tonight, seeing even you on the back pews. Both eyes healed by the Lord using the ophthalmologist. He'll do it. He'll help you. You got cancer? He'll help you. He'll take care of you. He's the divine healer. Saddest thing, I believe, one of the saddest things that's happened when the doctor told me it and my wife that it's cancer. It's cancer. Some of you, I'm sure, have been through that. It's cancer. Boy, that's a big load to hear. Yes, sir. That's tremendous. But you know, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit that lives in us, helped us. Yes, I cried. Yes, I was brokenhearted. Yes, we were brokenhearted, but we felt like God was going to get us through it. That's been, 8 years ago, or whatever. She's still by my side. I'll kid her, I'll say, you know, God gave you to me for a helpmeet, and I don't see him leaving me without you. Who's going to cook for me? Who's going to supply? Oh, she'll bring me a drink of water. She'll wash the dishes. Clean the floors. I hold my feet up and she sweep out from under them. Amen. God is good. Rejoice in the Lord. And I say rejoice evermore. You want peace? You want security? You want help? Stay with the Lord and stay in the house of God. And I travel around a little bit already. I believe I'd stay in this church. You're a little bit too far from me, or I'd come join. I really would. Be something if the Lord sent me way down here and you had to come pick me up. Amen. Be something, wouldn't it? We don't do that. How many of you don't answer the question publicly? How many of you think about bringing somebody to church? You know, good. Your neighbor, make you bring them to church. Get them in the house of God. Let your moderation be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. He'll help you. He lives in us. He takes care of us. He's done it. He's doing it. And I still know how to jump. Somebody said, you 80, nearly 81 years old, still jumping. But you know what? Somebody was led of the Holy Ghost when they put this rail up here. Whoever suggested this, it's good strong one too. I was fixing to preach the other night at a place. He said, make your way on up here. Preacher, make your way on up here. And I got up where I said, I really made my way. You know, no rails. Amen. He's good. The Lord is at hand in you, living in you. He'll go home with you. He'll live with you. He does. You can't get rid of the Holy Ghost. He's in you. You can quench him and you can hinder him, but he's in you. Isn't that something? Holy Ghost in me. One of my deacons one time said this fella trying to tell him, said he was another persuasion. Said he's trying to tell him, said there is no Holy Ghost. Said I told him, wait a minute. Said as far as you know, there's no Holy Ghost. I thought that's a good answer. But he's at hand number one, personally, here, He's watching over those children. He watched over that grand boy that flew that truck offside the road, hit it down there and totaled it. One of them big trucks, big pickup trucks with all that. I said, four-wheel drive? Is that what you call them? Flipped it up in yonder. My son's carried me some rides over his subdivisions, and I was glad to get back. I ain't riding you no more. But listen, not only is He at hand personally with us, but He's at hand and He's coming. And I'm not going to preach a message. I'm nearly through. It scares me when a preacher says that. I'm sitting out there. But anyway, He's coming again. And I don't know anything yet to be fulfilled in this book that precedes His coming. He's at hand. The homosexuals are in place, multiplying and over. That's one of the prevailing sins when the flood came. That's one of the prevailing sins when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. And as it was in those days, so shall it be in the second coming of the Lord. Get your heads up! The church is not going down. It's going up. I don't like to hear too much of down in the church. I really don't. I love the church. Bible said, will He find faith when He comes? Yes, He's coming after you. He's coming after me. He's coming after His bride. He's coming. While we stand singing an invitation hymn, the pastor comes out here. If you're not saved tonight, won't you come on and join us? Won't you come on, join? We're headed to heaven. I went in Shady Grove Baptist Church over there, a lost sinner about nearly 60 years ago. I went in there one Monday night. Every step I took from my whole life, I was on my way to hell. But when I came out, I was on my way to heaven. The Lord saved me. And every step I've took since then, when I go to the bathroom, I'm on my way to heaven. When I go to the doctor's office, you know where the worst place I ever go is in that little waiting room over at the dentist's office. I don't like that. I hear them in there. You still can hear them where I go. I don't like that. But listen, I'm on my way to heaven. If you're not saved tonight, you need to be. You're not born again, washed in His blood, Holy Spirit working on your heart, wanting you to get in. Why don't you?